engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the first letter of St. Peter. Beloved, I exhort the presbyters among you, as a fellow presbyter and witness to the sufferings of Christ, and as one who has a share in the glory to be revealed, tend the flock of God in your midst, overseeing, not by constraint but willingly, as God would have it, not for shameful profit but eagerly. Do not lord it over those assigned to you, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd is revealed, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me, he refreshes my soul. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil. For you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. Praise and honor to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Praise and honor to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. Praise and honor to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We do not come to God simply as individuals. Our relationship with God is very personal, and we individually do have a responsibility and accountability to Him. And He saves us in that one-to-one relationship that we all have with Him. But it doesn't end there. That does not define the fullness of how God saves us or how we relate to Him. He creates a community. And we see this from the very beginning. He created the first community, the family, Adam, Eve, and then they began conceiving and bearing children. He created a people through the leadership of Moses, to whom he gave a covenant and a way of life and a land and a promise. He created the church. And we hear that here in this reading where he gives Peter a special role. You know, we see if you look carefully at the Gospels, Jesus choosing those who would proclaim his message. He chooses an inner circle, if you will, of 12 apostles. And he gives Peter a special role of strengthening the faith of the others, of being a point of unity. And we see that reflected throughout the New Testament and then into Christian history. And this, of course, is where we have in the Catholic community the Pope, and even other denominations. You have your clergy, your pastors, your bishops. We understand that as human beings, we have to organize ourselves in a community way. But it's not just how we organize ourselves. We do that in the civil arena, too, with politics. But Jesus has set up a structure in the church. So we have the 12 apostles with Peter playing a special role of being a unifier in the faith. And then we've got the further 72 disciples that he sent out. And then as the New Testament goes on, you see Peter and the other apostles and Paul handing on responsibility to the next generation of overseers, bishops, leaders in the church. But what defines it all? What defines it all as we prayed in that opening prayer and as we hear in this gospel is knowing Jesus. Peter knew who he was and said it publicly. The opening prayer of today's Mass said we are established on the rock of Peter's confession of faith. You know, names convey a mission. Jesus changes his name from Simon to Peter, Peter meaning a rock. The rock of his solid, certain confession of Jesus. This passage in Matthew 16, you can also link with the passage in John chapter 6, where after Jesus tells this whole crowd that he's going to give them his flesh to eat and his blood to drink, and he says, no, you didn't misunderstand me. My flesh is real food. My blood is real drink. The people were scratching their heads and saying, what is this? We can't listen to this kind of teaching. This is crazy. And so many began to depart from him, and he turns to this inner circle of the 12, and he says, do you want to leave me also? Is this teaching too hard for you as well? And at that moment, Peter speaks up, just as he speaks up here. And he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe. We know, the New Testament says, we know. We are convinced about who you are, that you are the Holy One of God. That's what he says here. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The firmness of the church's faith and the unity around which we must gather as a church and around which the Lord Jesus continues to build his church is the unity of that based on that certain knowledge. It's a conviction. It's not a maybe. It's not a question mark. It's not even a period. It's an exclamation point. We know, we are convinced, O Jesus, that you are the Son of the living God. So the establishment of authority in the church is not meant to be something apart from this knowledge of the Son of God. In fact, it exists only to reaffirm that knowledge. It's all based in Christ. Peter's authority here, bestowed by Jesus, is for the purpose of pointing to him. Upon this rock, he says, I will build my church. Notice he says it's his church. It's not Peter's church. It's not the Pope's church. It's not the bishop's church. It's not the clergy's church. It's Jesus' church. He's the head. We are the members. We're a body. We're a living body. The Pope doesn't have any more books of the Bible than you have. He doesn't have any more chapters of the Catechism than you have. He doesn't have any more knowledge about Christ than anything that has been publicly revealed. That's the beautiful thing about this faith. It's a public confession. Who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This confession of faith is public. And Jesus said to Peter, you have to strengthen your brothers in what? In doing what? In pointing to me. That's why one of the titles of the Pope is Vicar of Christ. A vicar is referential. It's pointing to someone else. Pope doesn't make up the teachings. Pope can't change the teachings. Neither can you or me. Your pastor can't change the teachings. Your bishop can't change the teachings. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the confession on which his church is built. And it's his church, the living body, the living temple is another image that the New Testament gives us for the church. The vine and the branches, yet another image. All about one united organism or structure. Every piece having its importance and affecting every other piece. Brothers and sisters, this is not just a church in a given moment of time. It's a church that stretches back all the way to this time of Jesus and has a consistent teaching that it holds to and bears witness to over all those centuries. And that's what we take refuge in Jesus Christ, who continues to teach his one unchanging gospel. As the letter to the Hebrews tells us, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's why, again, in this first reading, in this first letter of St. Peter, he talks to those who have authority in the church, and he says, don't lord it over those assigned to you. You're not a slave master. The relationship you'd have is not as a slave master. You're a servant. The same is true in the church, is also true in the civic arena. Power is service. Service to the people, he says, to be examples and to be teachers of the faith that you don't possess, and you don't have the right to change, and you don't have the right to omit it either. But that the faithful entrusted to your care have a right to know in all its rigor and vigor, in all its fullness, without exception and without apology and without diluting it and without weakening it and without picking and choosing. And they have a right to see it lived out by you, first of all, as an example. And then he makes reference to the chief shepherd. Yeah, sometimes we use the word, the bishop is our shepherd. Well, yeah, with a small s. The chief shepherd, that's where you use the capital letters. It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. Finally, he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. There are many attacks that the church suffers throughout the centuries, some of them self-inflicted wounds by unfaithful pastors, false doctrines, heresies of all different kinds, we have seen them all, false teaching, people in public life claiming to be Catholics and throwing the teachings out the window. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But think about that again. Who's on the offense and who's on the defense? A gate doesn't rush out into a battlefield to attack the enemy. A gate stands still and defends the city against the enemy attacking it. When the Lord says the gates of hell shall not hold out against the church, who's doing the attacking? It's the church storming the gates. We must be on the offensive to gain ground for Jesus Christ and his kingdom, to announce the gospel to more and more people, to bring more and more people into that living temple, onto branches to the vine, in that living body of Christ, and professing that rock of the faith. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We are to bring ever more and more people into this glorious communion that we call the church. And some in this Lenten season are catechumens preparing for the great gift of being baptized at Easter. And we pray for them in this Mass as we do throughout Lent. This is what the church is. It's the church storming the gates. My friends, the gates of death will not prevail against you, the people of life. The gates of falsehood will melt in the presence of the truth that you bear witness to every day. The gates of sin will flee in the presence of grace, a grace that God bestows on us all through our faith. Praised be Jesus Christ. He is the Son of the living God, and he does have the words of eternal life. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.